The day of death better than the day of birth? Come now. What a cynical statement. Is the writer of our text merely giving vent to a passing mood? Or is he trying to lay down a universal truth for serious consideration? Well, you heard the immediate context for this assertion from the reading at the lectern. And it was loaded with similar pessimistic statements, like death is the destiny of every man, and it's better to go to a house of mourning rather than to a house of feasting, and sorrow is better than laughter. And don't forget, the theme of his book, Ecclesiastes, is all is vanity, all is meaningless. Apparently, life has been so miserable for the writer of our text that he considers death preferable. Like Job, he seems to be cursing the day of his birth. But still, should a statement like our text be allowed into the Bible? Well, here's the irony. There is truth in this desperate overstatement that the day of death is better than the day of birth. And it's a pleasant truth, besides, not a sad one, a truth that the writer of our text certainly wasn't thinking of when he vented his feelings. If we interpret this scripture with scripture, we learn from St. Paul that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. There it is. The day of death is better than the day of birth. Don't get me wrong. Birth is a blessing. To live is Christ. But death is an even greater blessing. To die is gain. Neither birth nor death is a tragedy. Birth initiates the gift of God's life here on earth. Death initiates God's greater gift of everlasting life in heaven. To live is Christ, to die is gain. It's a win-win situation. The psalmist agrees, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Then what? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We believers in Christ go from good to better. And in that unintended sense, the author of Ecclesiastes is more right than he realizes when he says that the day of death is better than the day of birth. Time to get real. The words I've spoken so far are true, most certainly true. But words are easy. It's quite another thing to mean them and to believe them. Jesus might well challenge you and me the way he challenged Martha at Lazarus's tomb. Right after he assured her that he who believes in me will live even though he dies, Jesus added, "Believest thou this?" Aye, there's the rub. Do we believe it? We all want to get to heaven, sure, but do we want to die to get there? Oh yes, there are moments, and these moments are gifts from God. There are moments in our experience when we actually do hope in death, when we're positive that we'll live with Jesus forever. Thank God. But alas, let's face it, such moments are all too rare. We hate to see death interrupting our life of cocktails and steaks and luxury cars and brand new suits. All those accomplishments, all those honors, all that fame blotted out in a moment. Our evil lives after us, but the good we do is too oft interred with our bones. When we stand at the casket of a family member, when a sudden spasm of pain hints at the return of a cancer we thought was in remission, when aching bones and creaking joints herald the encroachment of death, do we then join the composer in saying, "Come, Caesar Tote, come, sweet death"? Do we chime in with Simeon, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace"? Should not our Lord say to us, as he said to his disciples during a storm on sea, "O ye of little faith"? And so, like another biblical character, we cry to Jesus, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." And guess what? He answers our prayer. "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." As Jesus himself reminds us, with men, this is impossible, and boy, do we know that. But with God, all things are possible. All things, mind you, even that of hoping in death and hoping for death. You see, Christ's birth as a human being, his life on earth, his damnation and death on a cross, his resurrection from the grave, have changed things. No, not the occurrence of death, it happens, but the outcome of death. In Satan's scheme, bodily death was a door that opened directly into the haunted house of hell. And like any door to a haunted house, that door creaked and grated and groaned. But Christ's saving person and work broke the inevitable connection between bodily death and eternal death. Christ put asunder what Satan had hoped to join together. Now, for those who trust in Christ, bodily death is a door that opens the other way into the palace of heaven. Even though, from our perspective, that door may still creak and grate and groan, it remains the entrance into the joy of our Lord. The joy of our Lord, a genitive that is both objective and subjective. And here's the good news, gets even better. Not only is this salvation the gift of God, but also the ability to accept that salvation, it's called faith. The ability to accept the salvation is the gift of God. It is God, the Holy Spirit, who enables us to confess with the psalmist, "I am still confident of this, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. To fear death is cowardice. None of us wants to go screaming into eternity. Merely to brave death, to keep a stiff upper lip, indeed it will be a stiff upper lip, doesn't cut it either. Good show is not enough. But to hope in death, that is the ultimate expression of our faith. And that faith we pray for today. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We rise for prayer.